Welcome to episode number 353 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the lies that we often tell ourselves and our kids whenever we get divorced. That's right, it's very common for us to do these things. It is not actually helping us. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is January the 27th, 2015. It is beginning of the week. It is Monday, guys. And we are ready to launch off into another week of fun and adventure. Glad to get to be with you guys on this Monday as we do that. Topic for today, again, is going to be divorce and lies. That's right. We often, you know, the thing is that we have to be real careful with today. And so I want to make sure that I'm upfront about this and say at the very start, I am not against people getting divorces. It's not for me in our family, in our household. We've made a decision that we aren't going to do it, but I understand that people do, and I understand why people do. So this isn't a judgment call. If you're already feeling like, oh my God, this guy's out here to judge me, honest to goodness, I'm not. However, what I am going to do is I'm going to take away some of the tools that we use to justify in divorce that we often use specifically and related to how we parent with our kids. So stay tuned to that. Before we do that, let's get into some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified, all the new episodes that come out here at thefamilypodcast.com, go to that very website over on the right-hand side, enter your name and your email address. When you do that, you'll get put on a special lift to folks who make sure they know all the new episodes when they come out, what they're about, to make sure they don't miss out on that one episode. If they just could have heard it, it would have changed everything. Guys, we want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you're getting three dimes at a help, maybe you've been listening to it a while and you really felt like you've gained a lot of knowledge and inspiration and connection with other people and other folks out there that we've had on as interviews, just consider becoming a P-Tacker. $5 a month. You can go to thefamilypodcast.com, click on the Become Member page. Whenever you do that, you can jump on over there. You can do it for $5 a month. You can do it straight through PayPal. It is quick. It is easy. It is flawless. And when you do that, you can cancel it at any time. It's not a year-long subscription. Whenever you do that, it also gets you access to premium information that is only available to you guys as members. So consider becoming a P-Tacker. Last, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, topic that you want to hear, like today, for instance, this topic was actually sent to us by John. John's been a longtime listener to the show and very active, one of our most actively engaged folks who's out there. Thanks again to you, John. He sent this article and said, hey, here's a good one. What do you think? You know, let's talk about this. And so we're going to bring that in. If you want to do the same thing, we want your discussion here. So send your article over to us. You can email it to me at TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also send a message like we had Mark. Mark's another one of our longtime listeners. Mark left us an article over on Facebook. You can leave it on Facebook, leave it on Twitter for me, and we'll see about throwing it up there. You can also call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT-0. Or click the Contact Us button at the very top of the page. It'll take you to our Japkin page. You can even leave a little voicemail right over your computer or your cell phone or whatever else that has a microphone attached to it. So consider doing that. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is divorce and lies. Now, again, I really want to be very specific on this. And you say, Trey, all right, we get it. You're beating a dead horse here. I really want to cover this very, very in detail. Today, we're going to talk about some of the lies that we use to justify getting a divorce that involve our kids, and we're going to break some of those lines. A great article that was sent over to us by John over at Yahoo.com written by Deborah McLeod. Now we've actually featured some of Deborah's other stuff on here. She writes some phenomenal mess, and so we love Deborah and her grad. She's putting out these amazing articles, and we're going to cover this one today about some of the lies that we use. Now that I've said that, I also want to quickly jump over, guys. I am not saying we have a problem with divorce. There are certain instances that, yes, I do even think that I understand when people get divorces, and I hold no judgment. And I cast no judgment calls about what and why people get divorced. For my wife and I, in our household, we've decided that's not for us. That breaking off relationships is not the way that we want to go. Now, because of that, it also forces us to preload a lot of what we do. And when I say preload, we're talking about how do we build our marriage and how do we affair-proof it? How do we divorce-proof our marriages? And, that's strong words, divorce-proof, affair-proof, but that's how much we value this. If y'all want to get a big kick out of that, you can actually hear my wife and I over at themarriagepodcast.com. You can head over there and listen to, we've got several shows. I can't remember how many we got before we finally had to cut it off. We have talked pretty specifically about getting that show back up and running because it's a huge hit. It was a huge hit. We just ran out of time with how many kids we had. And we were just about to get our foster kiddo. So anyway, you can jump over there and listen to that and just kind of get a feel for what we talk about when we say that. But what we're talking today about is some of the things that we tell ourselves to help justify. We hear it all the time. The other extreme to what we're talking about here is, well, we need to stay together for the kids, right? See, that's one thing that I don't agree with. I do not believe that parents should stay together for the kids. What are you saying, Chad? I know that our Christian brethren and sistren out there who heard that just gasped a little bit. But I really disagree with that. You should never stay together for the kids. The reason for that is you should stay together for that person you're with. You should establish a relationship. And I'm saying shoulds here. You should. Well, you know what? I should be exercising and eating better and not be as big as I am, but I am. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying this because I got plenty of crap I can raise my hand to here. But we should be in our relationships for ourselves. So that's the far extreme that we think about the most is that we need to stay together for the kids. I don't agree with doing that. If you're going to stay together, it should be because you're facilitating a relationship with your significant other, your spouse, not because of the kids. The flip side to that is, the other side to the stay together for the kids is, well, we need to separate for the kids, right? This is also another mentality of belief that we reject in its entirety. Now, not because I don't think there's good reasons for people to get divorced. I absolutely believe that there are certain instances where I totally condone it. If there is a man or a woman who, yes, it happens to men too. I've worked with them. If there are men or women that are in abusive relationships where they have tried to help the husband and wife square it away and there is significant concern for their life, in some cases like that, I don't blame a person. I understand it. I'm not going to look you in the face and say that in that similar situation, I wouldn't do the same thing, right? Especially when there's life-threatening stuff that's going on. Again, yes, that happens both to males and females. I have worked with some males in battered and abusive situations that were in shelters and whatnot. And so, I mean, it does happen. And so in situations like that, I get it. There are other situations that, as they get worse, especially like lack of relationship skills, a lot of folks just don't have very good relationship skills. And so a lot of those situations where they walk into it and they just don't have very good relationship skills, I understand that. I don't necessarily condone that as much because the answer is go figure it out. I mean, if that's an issue, go read up on personality issues and how to work those out. And it's possible, but a lot of times it happens so late in the line. It's just too late. It's just too late. And I get that. So I want to cover a list here of seven main lies that Deborah pulls up for us that are very insightful on some of the lies we tell ourselves as parents that are getting divorced. So number one that I want to address, my kids want me to be happy. Deborah words it perfectly. She goes, no, your kids want their biological mom to get their act together and behave like grownups and create a stable, happy home for them. See, we get this mentality then I'll be happier once we're in a divorce. The reality is, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's not a quick flip that all of a sudden starts making you happy. So you got to think about it like this. Marriage, whether you like it or not, marriage has a tendency to glue two people together. So imagine you take two sheets of paper, like two pieces of construction paper, right? And you put glue in between those two and you smush them together and you let it dry. What happens when you peel those two things apart? They rip, they shred, pieces come off on one side, the other side will come off some pieces on the other side, but they never separate to go back to the way they were. So the mentality that you're going to get divorced and all's going to be happy again isn't very true. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there might not be parts of you that are like, thank God I'm out of that. I do get that. I really do. But here's the thing, is a lot of times we see that in our mind. I will be happy when. See, that's another thing that we don't buy into here. And I'm going to kind of tie this in with it. But the if only, my wife and I call it the if only syndrome. And that's it's a mentality. It's not just for this. There's a thousand situations we do it, whether it's our new car or a bigger house or the better job. We do the if only. If I only had fill in the blank here, then I'd be happy. I'd be content. I'd finally be where I wanted to be. And the reality is the if only syndrome is propagating. It self-propagates and it never dies. Because the reality is to the if only scenario is it's always focused forward in the future. It's never focused on the present. So if I'm saying to myself, if I was only divorced from my wife, then I'd be happy. If I take that approach, I'm always focusing ahead on something and never on where I'm at right at this moment. See, that's why it's so difficult to try to depend on happiness whenever it comes to getting a divorce, right? As long as I'm divorced, then I'll be happy. See, here's the other thing. Your kids don't care about you being happy either. What they really, really want deep down inside is for mom and dad to stay together. It's inherent. Now, don't get me wrong. They may get to the point to where they hate listening to the fighting or the arguing or the cold shoulders or whatever it is that you do so much that they're ready to be done with that. But you ask kids deep down inside, they typically want you guys to straighten it up. Number two, my kids will be better off. That is not only untrue, it is statistically and research proven untrue. Deborah writes, probably not. Research shows that children of divorce experience higher rates of emotional and behavioral problems. They are also the more likely to experience poverty and mistreatment, whether it's outright abuse or cruel indifference from an unrelated adult in the home. The reality is it does not matter what you think. If you are getting out of your marriage because you think your kids will be better for it, it's probably not true, with the exception of abuse, sexual, mental, physical, etc. If you got those things going on, if your spouse is abusing your kids in any way, if they're hitting them, smacking at them, screaming at them at the top of their lungs all the time, not getting better, if they're smacking them around, or if they're having sex or doing sexual things with them, get out of the house. Get out. Get out. O-U-T. Get out of the house. Now. Go. Find a safe place. There's lots of safe places out there. But your kids are probably not going to be better off if you get that divorce. The reality is, it goes back to number one. Your kids want you to be together and to be happy and straighten it up. The super sucky thing about divorce is that, you remember that construction paper thing, right? Is it when you pull the construction paper apart that's been glued together, that it typically leaves little chunks on each other, right? The problem is that kids are one of the chunks, and now in a lot of ways they wind up having to choose which side of the paper they're going to go to, or they have somebody else coming to them and deciding which side of that paper they're going to stick to most of the time, right? Your kids are rarely better off. It's going to be a ride. It's going to be tumultuous. And while you may have rage and anger or hatred or hurt or bitterness or whatever else pent up inside your heart about these kiddos, or excuse me, about not the kiddos, about these exes now, the reality is your kiddo probably still sees them as their mama or their daddy, right? And because they see these kids in this, see these parents in this light, any anger or hurt or hatred that you have stings your kid too. You know, it's one of the things we always talk about in therapeutic settings when we talk about divorce. I would always tell parents, do not bash your ex. Don't do it. Don't bash the ex, and especially don't bash them in front of your kid. Because you may think that whenever you tell your kid about all the bad crap that the other parent has done, that you're driving a wedge in between that other parent and your kid. That's not the way it works. It traditionally drives a wedge between the person saying those things and the kid. So remember, your kids are not better off. And you need to sit down and ask yourself, is the pain I'm about to put my kids through, willfully subject them to, worth it? Is the answer to that yes? Sometimes, absolutely. Sometimes it is worth it. However, I think we try to trick ourselves into thinking that our kids are going to be better in this case when they're typically not. Number three, my marriage will be better. That is unlikely. Second and subsequent marriages have a higher divorce rate than first marriages. That is true, by the way. That is verified information by me. Why? Because people rarely change and tend to repeat their poor behaviors. Plus, subsequent marriages often involve stepkids and blended families, which ramps up the drama and conflict even more. You hear that? Your next marriage, if you get into one, will not be utopian. I'm sorry. I mean, I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you that your next one will be so amazing and perfect, and maybe it will. Reality being, statistically, experientially, it's not the way it works. You'll likely fall back into the same patterns, same habits, same routines. And as you fall back into those, you'll create the same problem, new person, all over again. Your next marriage will not be better. It will be, in a lot of ways, more difficult, more strenuous on your kid as well. And guys, I want to keep coming back to this thought. I'm not telling you don't get a divorce. What I'm saying is, my job is to educate you on all of the consequences, or at least nearly of all the consequences to your decisions as I can, and then let you make that decision. So that way, at least, if you go through all this stuff and you're like, oh my God, this, I mean, you can't ever look somebody in the face and say, well, I didn't know. And now, next up, my relationship with my children won't change. Deborah writes, yes, it will. A parent who does not live under the same roof as his or her child cannot have the same stature or influence in that child's life as a parent who does. Absolutely agreed on this. Absolutely agreed. Regardless of the reason for the divorce, chances are good that at some point your child will resent you for breaking up the family union. Even worse, your child will likely blame him or herself, rationalizing that he or she was not lovable enough for the biological parents to work through the problems. Guys, this really happens. I'm talking as a guy who has sat in therapeutic settings with kid after kid after kid after kid, all of which we've had some conversation that has to do with this. My parents couldn't stay together. They didn't love me. They didn't care about me enough. Or it was my fault they quit caring about each other. And that's what caused all this. Guys, it really happens. I mean, this really does happen. And we're talking in a neighborhood near you. There is some kid that is doing that. The reality being, sorry guys, I had to get a sip of tea there. The reality being is that your relationship will change. It absolutely will change. You'll go from this person in your life who's your spouse, who co-parents this kid with you, to, in a lot of ways, it's hard, at least, not seeing them as an enemy. Now, all of a sudden, this person who is also co-parenting your kid with you, at least hopefully they're co-parenting with you, is the enemy as well. And that's another piece of it right there is, when it comes to divorce, is that the two parents have to figure out a way to co-parent together. And even that changes the dynamics of the relationship and can make it very, very difficult to parent effectively. So the next one says, I won't have any regrets. This is actually the first one that Deborah and I, we don't disagree on, but we kind of delineate in how we approach this. We almost disagree on this. She said, once your emotions have cooled and your distance, and you have your distance, you'll look back and wonder now that whether you should have worked harder to save your marriage and your family. This regret will deepen as you move, and you will realize that you will never feel the pride that comes from having your children and grandchildren, my family patriarch or matriarch. Maybe that's true. I have found that the human mind is incredibly adaptive. And to say that you will eventually one day regret this, I hope so. I really hope that every person who makes a choice to do something, I'm not talking just divorce, any decision that you feel is the wrong thing to do, I hope that everybody experiences guilt for it. Well, why would you wish that on anybody? Because guilt is powerful and it's motivating. I'm not talking about shame. We're not talking about shame. Guilt is that thing that makes us feel bad enough that we'll go do something different. We'll do better, right? I love guilt. Guilt's a beautiful thing. Shame is not a good thing because shame makes you feel so bad that you don't feel capable of going to do anything. That's not what we want, right? That's not what we want. And so with that said, we want parents to come out of these, you know, relationships. We wish that they could sit and never feel regretful. But the reality is that they do, is that most of them do. However, again, going back to what I was saying earlier. Sorry, I got sidetracked there, guys. Going back to what I was saying earlier is I have seen many people who have constantly been walking through these lies here that we're talking about today. And these are not an exhaustive list of seven here. These are seven that the author Deborah pulled out, and I think they're good. I've seen people going through these over and over and over, and they've gotten that skill set down so much. They really can. I don't think they believe that they are in the best place or they did the right thing, but I think it keeps them from being able to get to that place where they can be regretful. It's not that the regret's not there, but they keep themselves so justified in their mind that they really don't see that being an issue. Number six, we shouldn't stay together for the kids. She writes, I actually can't think of a better reason to stay and work through your problems with humility and determination. Help is out there when you need it. I do agree. I do disagree with this mentality, this myth that she talks about here, that we shouldn't stay together for the kids. Don't get me wrong. That should never be your foundational reason for being together. Because the bottom line is, if it is, you're going to have empty nest eventually. Empty nest syndrome is eventually going to happen. Or you're going to wind up convincing your kid to live in your basement for the rest of their life, right? I don't want that either. But staying together for the kids can be a good reason to keep things going. Now, you need to be working on the fundamentals of it as well. I love the fact that they picked the words humility and determination in here, because that's probably two of the biggest words in marriage. Some of my biggest things that I have to do is when I have to apologize to my wife. Even made worse when she's right. And I was a big turd about it, right? But staying together for the kids is not necessarily a bad thing. It just can't be your main thing. It may be your main thing even there at the start, but it needs to start moving on to other things. I want to be in this relationship because I love my wife. I want to be in this relationship because I love my husband. I want to be in this relationship because I want them to see how much I care for them. Number seven, divorce will solve all the problems, or solve my problems. If you have kids together, divorce won't solve your problems. I mean, there's no really new way to put that, guys. We've kind of covered why that is in the show today. And so I really want you guys to consider this and to be thinking about this. Is divorce the right choice for you? And if you think you're doing it because it's going to make the kids' lives better, more than likely, with the exception of extreme abuse, no, it's not going to make their lives any better. And so I want you guys to take a look at what you're doing. If you're in the middle of a divorce, you're thinking about one, maybe you've just been entertaining one the last few days. Guys, I'm not telling you you're making a wrong choice. I really mean that. However, I want you to take the opportunity and think to yourself about these seven. Are you doing these seven? And in my opinion, if you're doing just one of them, that's enough to say no. Don't get divorced. Not yet. Don't get divorced yet. Well, admittedly, guys, this is a short show today. This was picked very strategically. It's a tough topic. I really wanted to preload the information as quickly as I could into it and then try to wrap it up as quickly as we could so that way you can assimilate the data, basically. I want you guys to go think about this and don't spend any more time listening to me ramble on. Spend some time thinking about this. If you're in the middle of a divorce or something like that, feel free to touch base with us. Guys, I'm not an LMFT. I'm not a licensed marriage and family therapist or anything like that. However, it's a passion of my wife and I, as we believe in strong relationship. So we'd love to visit with you about it. And so shoot us an email that way if you got any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns. Well, I guess that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Wednesday. We're going to throw out another show that we've got. We've actually had another episode that we're going to probably feature out that another one of the listeners threw out to us. We're probably going to feature it as well. But if nothing else, I hope you guys have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you all on Wednesday.